think we'll start off with Tua because I understand he's actually okay.
He is okay. I've been following it some, you know, and because I've been through that before. When you get hit in a certain way, especially with your neck, it almost does something to your nerve system. So when I saw it, Scott, it really upset me.
Yeah,
because I've been there before, but from the information we've received this morning, it seems as though he's doing better. But I can guarantee you that the team wouldn't say anything else but he's doing better.
Well, you know, he flew back to Miami with the team. They let him leave the hospital. You know, obviously a concussion, and there was some speculation he might have had a concussion last week too.
Right.
It was a horrible thing, you know, as we all know. But right now we're also glad he didn't break his neck, which was a fear last night. I know that you had when you called me and told me, you know, you were watching the game and the way his fingers reacted and everything.
Yeah,
it was a scary moment.
It was a very scary moment, but I'm happy that things are working out and he can, you know, he's coming out of the hospital. But the challenge for us, Scott, is that the team's information was not going to be negative.
Right.
That would not have helped anything. You know, they were going to say that he's doing better. I just hope that we can get some more updates, you know, on how he really is.
Right. Well, he is Larry Mallory. I am Scott Farber. That's the Tua update. And Larry, let me ask you a question. So, you know, I'm watching the Bear game last week.
Of course.
and this has nothing to do, though, that it was the Bear game. Lovie Smith, former Bear coach, but the coach of the Houston Texans now, was livid on some play on the field. He was just riding the ref. And they were showing it on the sideline, you know, the coaches jawing away like they do. And Lovie was really giving it to the guy. The very next play, that ref threw a flag against the Bears, and they showed the replay, and the announcers were trying to figure out where is the penalty here. So let me ask you something. When you were playing, did you guys kind of – was that part of the plan to work the refs over? I mean, did the refs weaken and give you guys calls when they were getting worn out from you guys?
Well, you know, the referees in our day, and especially in our day with the type of coaches that we had, they always reinforce respect for the referees. So really the coaches had more of a, you know, an interaction with the referees than the players. The players attempted to, you know, kind of develop a positive relationship with the officials, because at the end of the day, they can call whatever they want to call, because there's honestly, Scott, there's some penalty on most things, either holding or something. But the coaches, you know, usually are left to try to develop that relationship with the players so that we don't get any negative inputs during the game.
Yeah. Well, Lovie, I'll tell you what, it worked. Lovie was giving it to him, and then he got that call the very next play. Speaking about Lovie, now, Larry, you love growing those beards. You know, and my wife is always telling you to shave them off.
You know? And I did what your wife told us to do.
Well, of course. You know, we all do. Anyway, Lovie Smith's got a great beard, and Scott producing today, I hope, is putting a shot of it up for us right now. But we look at Lovie's beard, and I just kind of laugh because there's just something about it that's very unique. So I started looking at beards online, and I found the 21st president of the United States, Chester Arthur. You know, he looked like he had a wannabe attempt at a Lovie Smith beard. Maybe his was more like an older Elvis look with the real long sideburns.
Right.
And then I found an American industrialist, Peter Cooper. Now, Scott's got his beard up now. That guy looks just like Lovie Smith to me. So we'll have to wait and see in the coming weeks what Larry turns into.
Well, but Lovie, let me just say, what was so interesting when you told me about Lovie and his beard was that, you know, bald-head guys wonder what's going to grow here. So with him growing this gray beard here, I bet you up here, boy, he would just have a long, long flock of gray hair. So I thought that was pretty funny that he has such a long gray beard.
Well, it's just I don't know. There's something about it that's just funny shaped to me, but that's just me. All right, on a more serious note, Jacksonville plays Philadelphia this weekend, and they both have these young quarterbacks. I believe it's the third year for Trevor Lawrence, the third year for Jalen Hurts. and they are both having superstar years so far. What's your evaluation of these two kids?
Well, you know, I think that's a reflection of the new generation of quarterbacks, you know, and the new generation of plays aligned to those type of quarterbacks. I didn't realize that Trevor Lawrence was actually one of the highest touted college players coming out of high school. I didn't really follow him much, you know, but I didn't know that he had won the 2019 national championship as a freshman, you know.
So he
set a record for quarterback wins. And then when I researched him and really looked into him, I found out he was 6'6".
Yeah, he's a big kid.
Yeah. So see, at 6'6", we've talked about this a lot, Scott. At 6'6", with the type of defensive lineman we have now, with the technique of raising those hands, you know, making sure those hands are up.
Right.
Imagine he can see better than most quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean,
he towers over Kyler Murray.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He definitely towers over Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
But when I realized that he was 6'6", that really gave me he actually got another fan because I support him at 6'6".
You know, I think Trevor Lawrence, the first time he lost a football game since he started playing in high school was when he was in the NFL.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I might be mistaken. He might have had one loss in college, but I don't think so. I think he went all the way through college.
Yeah.
And high school for sure. And then when he got to the pros.
They awarded him coming out of college because he got $36 million in 4 years. Yeah, yeah. And this year he got a $24 million signing bonus. So what can we say?
Well, what do you think about Jalen Hurts? He's having a phenomenal year so far with Philadelphia.
Yeah, he is. I think that he's a part of this new offensive scheme of things because now the defense has to prepare not only, you know, in the old days, you knew that the quarterback 70% of the times was going to be a drop back pass.
Right.
But now, if you look at defenses, the linebackers hesitate in going out for the pass because you don't know if it's a pass or a run. You don't know if the quarterback is – all the quarterbacks can run, you know. Right. So it's really making the game, I think, a little bit more interesting. It's bringing the offense into the game a lot more.
Well, you know, it gives us Bear fans some hope with Justin Fields. So how much is it the growth of these quarterbacks, or is it also the growth of the team?
Well, I think it's impossible for it to be the growth of only one person. Impossible on a football team, on any kind of team. So it's right. The growth of the team, but it's also the growth of the leadership of the team. And know that the quarterbacks – historically on any, you know, team, the quarterbacks making the most money are historically one of the leaders on that team.
Right, right.
So
right.
Whatever happens, you know, and to affect them positively, it also helps to affect the team positively.
Now, switching over to baseball, we got Aaron Judge. He finally caught Roger Maris at 61. And I think it's the quiet, unwritten, unsaid thing that the three Yankees that have hit 60 homers, Babe Ruth, Roger Maris, and now Aaron Judge, who has tied Roger at 61 homers, they're all steroid-free. So they're really applauded. Where I haven't heard one word during this whole home run chase to 61, I haven't heard about Sosa's 3 years that he hit over 60 home runs, or, of course, McGuire got to 70, and Barry Bonds, I think, has the record at 73. I haven't heard a word about that. So do you think there's some steroid issues there, or is it just because they're going to say, hey, this is the American League record that Judge is going for, and we're not worried about the National League? What are your thoughts on where we are on that?
Boy, that's a tough question, you know, because, you know, you just sort of explain a separation in the league. One side does one thing, another side does something different. Right. I think that ultimately they'll come together and there'll be one decision made and the entire league will follow that decision.
Yeah, I think You know, and you and I talked a little bit about this last night when we were on the phone. If you're going to let guys like Bonds and Sosa play the games and those count in the win-loss column for the team, then I kind of feel they need to be in the Hall of Fame. You can't judge and say, oh, we know you were on steroids. There's been so much talk. You call it a steroid era. Some people said, well, steroids probably boost you 10 or 15%. So take 10 or 15% off of their record. What do you think? Do these guys, should they go into the hall and we just accept it? I mean, you know, and wasn't there an amphetamine era in the 70s? You know, I mean, I don't know. What do you think? Should these guys be in the Hall of Fame, or do we just pretend and go on that they're not?
Well, that's a strong question. I believe that there should be equality across teams. And so if the majority of people that are in the Hall of Fame have not had access or been involved in anything relating to an outside substance improving their performance, then I don't support that. Right. I think that it should be a drug-free environment. I think that there should be everybody should start from the same line and try to get to the finish line at the same time. Right. I don't think there should be any support. Anything that pushes you over another guy or makes you stronger.
So really, Larry, the only thing that's the punishment is the Hall of Fame. The records all stand. The team's one-loss records all stand. How do you differentiate? Yeah, I guess that's where I kind of stumble over all of this. So that's where I have a problem. I like you, I think people should not be on performance-enhancing drugs. I mean, it should just be outlawed.
Yeah.
But how do you go back and police what happened in the past? Because the only punishment to me seems to be the guys that rose to Hall of Fame level aren't going in. Doesn't matter about any of the other guys. We don't even discuss them that might have been on steroids. And then the team records all stand. So, you know, that's where I see the problem. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I think the whole issue comes down to, you know, the league's control, how they manage their players, what the restrictions are. I don't believe that there should be any, you know, extra drugs abuse. You know, I don't think that you should be able to take something and compete, all of those things. These are natural athletes that have worked hard to get to where they are. And I think that's the safe element of everything, that everybody has worked hard. They're not on any drugs. You know what I mean? And it's something, you got yourself there and now you have to stay there. So I don't think that drugs should be incorporated in sports at all.
You know, if Aaron Judge could have just wound up with 74 or 75 homers, he could have put all the issues to rest and behind us. But, you know, we all think he's the runaway. I mean, he's having the best year for a hitter, I guess they're saying ever, with all the power rankings and all the different stats for baseball now. But there's a guy, Otani, who kind of won't go away.
Yeah.
Last night he pitched 7 2/3 innings of no hit ball. He finally wound up only pitching 8 innings, gave up 2 hits. He also got 2 hits in the ball game himself, scored a run, knocked in an RBI.
Is he 6'6" too?
He's big. I don't know how tall he is, but I mean, Aaron Judge is, I think, 6'7", 6'8", or 6'9". Right. Otani's a little guy at 6'6" then, you know. but I look at, you know, you can't dismiss him. Last year he was the unanimous pick for MVP. This year they think Judge will be the unanimous pick, but I think Otani might get a couple of votes from his region, from the writers, you know, in California, whoever does the voting's on the MVP. But last night he brought his ERA down to 2.35, I think they said it was. He's 15-8 as a pitcher, well over 200 strikeouts. And then, of course, he's got 34 homers, 94 RBIs, you know, batting .275.
I think we talked about this before. When he comes off the mound, he's not far from the batter.
Yeah. You know, and I watched the game last night, and you know, his fastball is 99 miles an hour, but he didn't throw it a lot. He kept throwing sliders. His ball was breaking. It looked like, you know, 19 feet. You know, he was throwing his arm at different angles up high and getting a curve more down. Then he'd drop his arm down to the side and the ball would slide across the plate. I mean, he's it's very interesting if you look at all the fine points of the game. He's got it together.
Well, I know you're going to know when the Chicago teams play. So let me know the next time they play. I'd like to watch him.
Okay. Well, you know, Shohei's going to have one more start, the last start of the season, but Judge is going to wind up as the MVP because what he has done is, you know, one of those records that baseball has always cherished and everything. All right, in 1978, I really learned a lesson. I was anchoring sports in Indiana on TV at that time. And Pete Rose was about to either tie or set the record for most consecutive games with a hit in the National League. I think he wound up with 44 games, but the record at the time was 37 games. And I think it was a gentleman, I'm doing this all from memory now, so it's a long time ago. So, you know, I can't remember yesterday, let alone, you know, 110 years ago. I think the gentleman's name was Tommy Helms or Holmes. And he had the 37-game hit streak. So our producer called him, and I got on the phone with him and asked him if he's pulling for Pete Rose. You know, records are made to be broken. Are you going to be happy for the guy? Well, I learned within the next 30 seconds, in the words that I could understand, that these guys don't like losing their records.
Right.
There was nothing I could use on the TV that night back in those days.
Right.
So I learned my lesson. I realized I really worded that question wrong. So I learned something from him. But I'm telling this whole story because I remember when McGuire on St. Louis broke Maris's record. Maris also played on St. Louis at the end of his career. The whole Maris family was out there to cheer on Mark McGuire. And now his son, Roger Jr., has been with Aaron Judge's mother, a million Yankee games now in this record chase, and then he's giving her this hug when the home run was hit to tie Roger. And all I'm thinking is, did the Marises really want their dad's record broken? Are they really happy about it?
Well, they're happy about being with someone that broke it. And in other words, you know, a record is something that's set up for people to go after. And a lot of records, you know, for a long time, never gets challenged, like this record. This record wasn't challenged for a long time. So I think that when someone comes in and breaks a record, it's almost almost like a union, because both of those people that broke the records will go down in history. And their families will be able to take advantage of some of it.
Well, you know, so basically what you're saying is it made Roger Maris relevant again.
Yeah, it did. You're right. It brought him back. Imagine, a lot of the kids that we know don't even know Roger Maris.
Yeah. You know, and I'm sure Scott is one of them, you know.
Right.
You know, that's true. What I told you, the trivia question we're going to ask Scott today, and it was from 1978, and you're going, well, how old was he when we found out last time? He was born in like 98 or something, you know. So this is going back. Scott, come on in. Scott is producing by himself again. Zeke is still traveling the world, so we got Scott here alone. All right. Yeah, Scott's showing his hand so we know he's not Googling answers, you know. All right, Scott. Also in 1978 on Trivia Time, what was the first miracle at the Meadowlands? Give me the answers to the other ones that won't count.
I have no idea. The Giants.
Well, that's right. That's right. I think I had talked to you about this. This was the game that the Giants, who were not having a very good year, were beating playoff-bound Philadelphia. And there was just a matter of a few seconds left. and Pisarcik is the quarterback. And instead of Joe Pisarcik, and instead of taking a knee, he hands off to the injured Larry Zonka. Zonka fumbled the ball. Herm Edwards picked it up and ran it in for the winning score.
Yeah.
And Larry and I had talked about this on a podcast a couple of years ago, and I tried to, it's like pulling teeth from Larry. What did the coaches say, and how did they react? And he's giving me this, well, use it as a learning curve. And I know that that's not quite what the coaches were telling Larry and the rest of the team. You know, but Larry always has to make it perfect and nice. All right, so Herm Edwards went on and became a coach and on ESPN. There was one other guy who played in that game, Philadelphia and the Giants, so part two of this question, that became a superstar in the media. Can you tell me who that is?
Me?
Yes, yeah. You. I'm not asking Larry trivia questions.
It seemed like you were asking Larry. I mean, that was 20 years before I was born.
Come on. You know, you know, when I give you the name, you're going to go, oh my gosh, yeah, of course. It's not Herm Edwards because he picked up the fumble and ran it in. So I don't want to make him the media star. But one other guy from one of those two teams became a huge star in the media.
I'm going to go with Larry Mallory.
You nailed it, baby. You got it. I asked Larry that question yesterday. He goes, I have no idea.
Larry's just too humble. He knew the answer. He just didn't want to say it.
Yeah. Hey, bro.
That's right. All right, Scott. Well, you know, you did good. Once again, you know, you weren't shut out. You nailed it.
That's
you
right. Know,
last week you got both questions correct. This week you got one out of the two. So I think that was a great guess. I thought
he's rolling. That's right.
What do you think about that, Larry? You got a fan.
Hey, I think he's rolling. Hey, but Scott, we only select the best, and we got the best.
That's right. That's right.
That's why I'm here right now, and Zeke's in Europe, you know.
So Zeke is really lagging behind because Scott has a 3-0 lead, or he's got three correct already. So, Zeke's got a ways to catch up. All right, Scott. Well, thank you very much, and we'll get you on next week. All right, Larry, we're going to end tonight with a documentary. You and I have a friend, John Nyland, and John was a superstar lineman for the Dallas Cowboys, and we did a documentary on him. He had done a lot of interviews with us for Generations Broadcasting, and we took those interviews and turned it into a really nice documentary that's going to appear on generationsbroadcasting.com in the near future. But I want to show a snippet tonight because I'm really excited about it. And I'm sure it's something about John that no one knows. Okay. Now, if you hear the dogs barking, the dogs want to get on trivia time too. You know, my dogs are barking in the background. I don't know if you hear them or not.
Well, everybody gets excited about John Nyland, even the dogs.
He's there. Well, that's right. John is a great guy. We hope someday he could go into the Hall of Fame. But we're going to play the last 2 minutes as we sign out on the documentary that we just completed on him. And this is going to be it. Go ahead.
Just to add a quick thing. We want John Nyland to go into the Hall of Fame, and we want Too Tall Jones to go in the Hall of Fame.
Well, and maybe that next documentary we do should be on Too Tall.
Yeah.
You know, so we should think about that. And Too Tall, when you're watching, see how we're talking about you, man? You know, Larry wants in the Hall of Fame, and he just wants lunch. So I mean, for that Too Tall. So you know, he could swing that, and I'm going too.
That's right.
All right. So the final note that I want to mention on this documentary, this is going to be something that nobody knows about John Nyland.
Right.
They're gonna find out in this clip that the movie Saving Private Ryan was on John's family.
Yeah.
So we'll see you all next time. Enjoy this little clip, Larry. Thanks, man. And we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Well, it was a World War II book, and I think this is great. Who wore that book out? You know, I see pilots, and I want to be a pilot. I saw infantry men, and I want to be a gunner. I saw, you know, I was watching it, and I just wore the page. I'm 5, 6, 7. And my dad said, don't ruin that book. You have relatives that are heroes in the war. What does that mean? I'm 7 years old. Fast forward 50 years. My wife and I are watching HBO one night, and they were doing a documentary on the saving of Private Ryan. I coincidentally saw the movie before I saw the documentary. The documentary starts out, and they cut to an interview with Mary Nyland. She's got to be related. I watched the story, and it's Mary Nyland's family connection that the story of Saving Private Ryan came from. A guy named Ambrose, a World War II historian, wrote the story of brothers, the Nyland brothers, four of them. Three of them were killed on D-Day. One was a pilot, I think one was a infantry, and I'm not sure the other one was whatever, I don't recall. And that's Ambrose's story about brothers, about the Nyland family and to bring him out of the war, blah, blah, blah. And that's where the movie started from. And Spielberg took the whole storyline of the Nylands. And of course, I'm sure he embellished it for movie facts and for entertainment. And, you know, these weren't heroes necessarily, but they all got shot down, killed, and got lost, except for Fritz Nyland. And that's who they went after and brought him back out of there. So it wasn't Private Ryan, it was Private Nyland. And that's the whole story.